Bibles, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter number 39. One gentleman that hadn't been saved very long, didn't know very much about the Bible, he was calling it the book of Job. And I can see how you get that mixed up. And I read a book a while back about another gentleman that had gotten saved. And he knew nothing about church, nothing at all about church. And so I forget exactly what the circumstances was, but somebody witnessed to him. He got saved. He decided he wanted to go to church. He found a church, I think it was through the phone book or something, and called them up. And he's talking to the pastor's wife, and he said, "I want to come to your church." And she said, "Well, good, just come right on." And he said, "How do I get in?" And she said, "Well, when you get there, you just open the door and come on in." And he said, "You mean I just come right on in?" And he just couldn't comprehend that you didn't have to do something to get in. And he said, at the end of the conversation, he told the preacher's wife, said, "You're the weirdest person I've ever talked to." And she said, "Well, you're the weirdest person I've ever talked to. But if you didn't know, if you weren't saved, if you weren't raised in church, you might think you had to have a ticket or a code word or a permission of some kind to get in. But I'm glad it's not like that. I'm glad we can come. Whosoever will can come to the Lord Jesus Christ." But I want to, I'm going to do something today I've never, ever done before. I've pastored now. This is the third church that I have pastored, and I've been here longer than I've been anywhere else. And I was thinking a while back when I first came to Mount Lebanon, I preached a series of messages on the eagle. And I want to try to begin to do that again today. I'm sure several people weren't here before when I preached this series. And if you were here before, you probably forgot a whole lot of it. And so I've prayed about this, and really I began to think about it. It's been several weeks ago now, but I thought to myself, you know, I'd like to preach that series of messages again. And that same Sunday that I began to think about it, somebody in the church came up to me and asked me if I would consider preaching that series of messages again. And I told him, I said, if I hadn't thought about it first, I probably wouldn't. But I said, I'll pray about it, and you just help me pray about it. But I preached a series of messages on the eagle. And that's been 7 years ago, right at seven. I think I preached it in April of the year I came, and this will be 7 years this year. So it's been about 7 years ago. But I've never done that before. I try to be very careful not to. I'm not saying I don't preach the same message over again, but I sure don't preach the same message in the same church. But 7 years is a long time. I'm sure the young people, all of them, Noah said he remembered it, but he didn't remember much about it. And Abigail said she didn't remember anything about it. And so you just pray. I'm not going to promise I'll preach the whole series because I'll just go as the Lord leads, but I want to begin that today. You just pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. There's a lot of good things when you study about the eagle and the Christian life. And that's what this message is about in this series of messages. So we're going to read in Job chapter 39, verses 27 through 30, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Job chapter 39 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your many blessings that you've given to us today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as only you can. Lord, as we come today, our hearts are heavy, many of us today. We just pray, Lord, for Sister Mitzi and all of her family, Lord. We realize, God, that you know all things. And Lord, you knew You knew all along what would happen this weekend and this past Friday with Brother Charles, Lord. It's tragic to us, and Lord, it's a shock. And Lord, I'm sure the family is just has many, many emotions, and Lord, is very sad, and especially the children. God, we pray for all of them today. Be with that family. God, I pray you'd just wrap them up in your great arms of love, and you'd comfort them, Lord, as only you can. Lord, we do pray for them today. We think about our own family. We think about, God, so many times we just take for granted just the simplest things in life of going to work and coming home again, and Lord, nothing happening. God, we just pray for them. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we do have. I pray, God, you'd help me today. Lord, I pray for all those that are sick. We have so many that are sick. And Sister Ella May, Lord, we pray for her. And God, that you'd just comfort all that family as well. We've got a lot to pray about today. God, I pray you'd be with Brother Jason as he's away preaching, and Brother Jeff, and Lord, make it easy on them. Father, help me. Speak to our hearts from thy word. Help us tonight as we go. Give strength as only you can. We'll thank you for all that you do. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, as I've said already, I've preached this series of messages several years ago. It has been a long time. And we're talking about the eagle and the Christian from God's Word. There's many, many similarities. The proper word for it would be to make an analogy. To make an analogy between one thing and another. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, consider the lilies of the field. It was very common in his ministry to take a everyday object, something that everybody was familiar with, and to make an analogy, to draw a comparison from. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And the Lord made an analogy there. He said, if the Lord takes care of that, he's going to take care of you. Consider the birds of the air. They don't sow their seed. They don't farm their farms, but the Lord feeds them. The Lord's going to feed you. That's called an analogy. And in the Word of God, there's an analogy. There's a comparison between the eagle and the Christian. And we are not stretching the Scriptures to make this analogy. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4, God likens himself to be an eagle and his people. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, God said to the children of Israel, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He is likening himself to an eagle, carrying his children and bringing them to himself. Probably the most famous passage of Scripture in the Bible that has to do with an eagle is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I'm sure everybody is familiar with that. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'd say over in my study and at my house, I've got no less than 5 or 10 plaques and plates and little things that sit on your desk that's got that verse on it, Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And here in this passage of Job, we see that God reveals several natural facts about the eagle. If you were to go out and observe an eagle, you would find out these things. These are the eagle in nature, we might see, and some facts about the eagle. And so I want to make a few points today along these lines, point out some comparisons between the eagle and the Christian. First of all, there is the supremacy of the eagle. The Bible says in verse number 27, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high. Now, if you study about the eagle, and I've done a lot of studying down through the years about the eagle, you'll find out there's not just one type of eagle. There's several different varieties of eagle. Here in America, we're familiar with the bald eagle. The eagle in the Bible is the golden eagle or the imperial eagle. But there's many different types of the eagle. They all share several things in common, though. So we all know what I'm talking about. When I talk about the eagle, the very name suggests a majestic creature, a beautiful creature. You find the eagle everywhere in society. You find the picture of the eagle, the representation of the eagle. The eagle is without a doubt the king of all the birds. We don't just learn that from what we see all around about us, but we see that in the Word of God as well. For example, in Ezekiel chapter number 1, Ezekiel sees a vision of an angelic creature. And this creature that he sees has four faces. First of all, it has the face of a man. Man is the king of the world. God put Adam on the earth and he told him to go and to subdue and to have dominion over the world. He put him in the garden and said to dress it and to keep it. God put man in charge. Man is the king of the world. He's supposed to be. This we find in God's word. The second creature had the face of a lion. The lion is the king of the beast. The third face was the face of an ox, which is the strongest of all the domesticated animals. And then the fourth face was the face of an eagle, which is the king of the birds. When God in his word lists birds not to be eaten, the eagle is the first bird that is mentioned. God's order is never out of order. When God puts an order on anything, he does it for a reason, and the eagle is the first bird that is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 13. I've said it many, many times. God's order is never out of order. God puts the eagle first in his word. Eagles are mentioned 34 places in the Bible. The average weight of a mature golden eagle is 31 pounds. Now, if you want to know how much 31 pounds is, you can pick up my daughter Chloe. Because she's been playing on the scales, and I know that she is 31, 33 pounds, right around in there. Every time we go in the bathroom, she has to weigh and see if she's lost or gained any weight. But there you, that's about that size. That's a pretty good size creature if you're talking about a bird. The wingspan of a golden eagle is anywhere from 6 to 10 feet. Eagles are creatures that mate for life. They will make a nest and they will come back to the same nest every year. They'll add to that nest. There have been nests that have been found that would weigh over a ton. They make their home and they live in one place. And they are faithful to that home. They're very interesting creatures to study about. You see eagles everywhere. We have coins in our pocket that has an eagle on it. Eagles are on money. They're on our currency here in America. They're on coins. They're on flags. Sports teams call themselves the Eagles. Names of towns are named after the eagle. Rocks, bridges, anything that is big and important and majestic will take on the name of an eagle. We could find and mention many, many examples. When you think about an eagle, you think about freedom. You think about a bird that has power. You think about majesty and victory and beauty and all of these things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." The Christian is God's showpiece for the world. God wants you and I to be eagle Christians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the riches of his grace. He's talking about in us. You're God's showpiece to the world. God intends for his children to be conquerors in this life. So the eagle, God doesn't want you to be a turkey Christian. God wants you to be an eagle Christian. If you have a desire you want to attain, you want to aim for something, you ought to want to be something that represents power and victory. God intends for us to have power in our lives. God intends for us to have victory in our lives. God intends for us to have freedom in our lives. God intends for our life to be beautiful for others to see. I'm sure that all of us have been outside or somewhere at one point or another and you have either seen or somebody has pointed out an eagle in the sky, that's worth stopping and looking at. Nobody stops beside the road to see a crow fly by. But I've stopped a lot of places, especially when we lived out west, where we would make a special effort to pull off beside the road and watch an eagle fly, because that's worth looking at. And let me tell you something today. God intends for our lives to be something that the world would stop and look at and say, now that's a beautiful thing. And I know we have trials, and I know we have tribulations, and we have things come into our life that are hard, hard, hard. I know when our daughter passed away, and that was a hard thing in our lives. I mean, you talk about a trial. And Preacher Mark Hodges, he brought me a little bookmark that he'd been carrying in his Bible for years, and it just simply had the word grace on it. And he said, "Preacher, I want to give this to you." And he did, and I've had it now all this time. But you know what? I already had the grace of God. It was already very real unto me. But he gave me that. You know what? And people, when people see us go through things that otherwise would destroy us, when they see us go through those trials and those tribulations, and when they see us go through life with grace and victory and beauty in our lives, that's a thing worth looking at. And that's how God intends for our lives to be. The supremacy of the eagle, first of all. Second of all, today, let me point out, there's the solitude of the eagle. I'll cough in between points and eat cough drops. That is a cough drop, not a button. You heard about that, didn't you? Where the preacher, he'd put a cough drop in his mouth every time he got up to preach, and when it was gone, he would know to stop. And one Sunday, he had a button fell off of his suit, and he put it in his pocket and forgot about it. And then he put the button in his mouth, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. He never did get done. And finally, when he got done, he knew what it was. He'd put that button in his mouth, and it wouldn't dissolve. But I know that was a cough drop, so don't worry about that. I only told it because Brother Bill shook his head and said he'd never heard that. Now, everybody's heard it four times, and Brother Bill's heard it once. But anyway, there's the solitude of the eagle. Not only the supremacy, God intends for us to be more than conquerors in this life, but there's the solitude. There's something majestic about the eagle in its solitude. Verse 27, the Bible says, "And make her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place." The eagle, she mounts up on high. She makes her nest on high. The Bible says that she lives upon the crag of the rock. That word crag there means a tooth, such as a... We were visiting in Yellowstone one time, and I wish everybody could go to Yellowstone National Park or to the Grand Canyon. There's a reason they call it the Grand Canyon. And unless you just have been there, you just can't explain it. Same thing with Yellowstone. I mean, the mountains, and we'd pulled off, and you'll ride along the top of the ridges out there, and then there'll be this big valley down where the river runs and the Yellowstone Falls. And we were sitting, we had pulled off there, and we were looking over the overlook one time, and way down there in the valley on this little tooth of a rock, this crag of a rock, I noticed that there was a group of people, and they were gathered, and they were looking down, and they were watching. And what it was, right on this huge rock that just come up out of the canyon there, what I would call a tooth, or what the Bible calls a crag there, what everybody was looking at, there was a nest of an eagle's nest down there, had made her nest. They'd made their nest right on the top of this pinnacle of a rock coming up out of the canyon. That's how eagles are. They just what the Bible says, they dwell in high places. The crag of the rock abideth on the rock, and the strong place, the Bible says. It's talking about where the eagle lives. The eagle lives a rather lonely life. She flies by herself. She doesn't fly and with all the rest of the birds. They don't fly in a flock. They live where other birds cannot fly. They live in high places is what the Word of God teaches there. The eagle lives a lonely life. The average golden eagle's nest is 6,000 to 10,000 feet above sea level. They'll get up on a rock. They'll get up on a mountain if they live. I seen when we were in Oklahoma last year, me and Preacher Mark, he took me out to a Boy Scout camp not far from his house. There's a big old lake out there, and he said, there's some golden eagles lives out here. Now, that's not the Rocky Mountains there in Oklahoma. They don't have high mountains. They do have some mountains, but if an eagle doesn't live somewhere like the Rocky Mountains, they'll find the highest place there is. And sure enough, we stayed out there a little while and we got to see the eagle fly and stood there and enjoyed that. But they'll live in the cleft of a rock. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24, now there's a lot of good things in that, them living on the rock, because Matthew chapter 7 says the wise man built his house where? Upon the rock. The rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's where we need to live our lives. He's the one we need to live with and live above the things of this world. The eagle is not a group bird. Like I said, they don't fly in flocks. They don't gather together like turkeys or crows or songbirds or something like that. They live a solitary life. While other birds are pecking and scratching and all of these things to eke out their living, the eagle's up there flying and living where they cannot come. The solitude of the eagle. If we're to be eagle Christians, what I mean by that, if you're talking about somebody that's an eagle Christian, we're talking about somebody that's a mature Christian, that knows what it means to live the Spirit-filled life, to know what it is to have all their hope and faith and trust and their priorities around the Lord Jesus Christ and His life. That's the type of Christian that God intends for us to be. Psalms 91 and 1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Luke 6 and 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, I like fellowship. We all like fellowship. We like to get together and we like to enjoy one another's company and all of these things, but fellowship with each other, that'll never make us spiritual. If you want to be a spiritual Christian, you're going to have to learn what it means to fellowship with God. You're going to have to learn what it means when the Bible talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What we need is to learn about fellowship with God. How do you fellowship with God, preacher? You have to learn how to spend time with Him. Time in prayer. Time in His Word. Time listening to His voice. The Bible says in Psalms 24 and verse 3 and 4, it says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." A lot of times this world gets the impression that Christians are looking down on them. I hope and pray that we never get the attitude or the impression, give the impression that we're looking down on anybody. That's not God's will for us to go around looking down on others, but it is God's will for us to live where we're looking up to Him. And as we look up to Him and He is our all in our life, it draws us up higher unto Him. Not to look down on others, but to be closer to Him. To learn to walk with God. That ought to be the desire of our hearts today, and to know what it is to live in His fellowship and to listen to His voice. I could just ask you today, when's the last time you could really say, "I heard the voice of God"? We ought to live our lives in such a manner. We ought to be in such a good habit of walking with God and fellowshipping with Him that we know what it means to hear God's voice. To be able to say, now I've thought of this before. Maybe you don't think about this, but as a pastor, I think about things like this. I'll come to church and God has shown me something and I'll say, the Lord showed me something. Do you know what's crossed my mind before? If somebody didn't know what I was talking about, they'd think, he's crazy. He thinks God shows him things. He thinks God speaks to him. But you know what? God does show me things. God does speak to me. And that shouldn't be an odd thing for us to hear. But people out here in the world, if they heard you say, God spoke to me, you know, they'd be looking at you out of the corner of their eyes. They think God spoke to them. But you know what? As one of His children, we ought to know what it is for God to speak to us. And I'm not talking about speaking audibly, but I'm talking about I hear His voice through His Word. His Holy Spirit does make impressions upon our heart, and if we will listen, He will speak to us and lead us and guide us in the way. I'm thankful for that. I'd hate to think that I was going through this life with nobody to guide me and a God that couldn't speak in a way that I could hear His voice. But I'll tell you, if you want to hear His voice, if you want to be led of His Word and to know what it is to understand His will in this life, you're going to have to learn some things about solitude. Getting alone with God. And getting in God's presence and getting in His Word and hearing His voice. Being impressed upon by His Spirit. Matthew 6:6, the Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you know what it means today to have some quiet time with God? To get alone with God. It is God's will for us to be a life that others would be able to stop and admire. It is God's will for us as His children to live a life that we can get in His presence and get alone with Him. Thank God Jesus died upon the cross and shed His blood so that you and I wouldn't have to go to a priest, but we could come into His presence. We could come into the throne room. Because of His blood. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, talks about that we are to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm glad I can go there, but let me tell you something this morning. You need to live your life in such a way that you can get into His presence. You know what I think about a whole lot of times? I think as a pastor, and my phone is apt to ring at any time with any number of emergency and problems. And I need to live my life in such a way that I can pray now. I can pray right now. Not like, I think it was Preacher Arndt used to say, have to repent for 4 or 5 days where you feel like you can just get a simple prayer through. We don't want to live our lives like that. I'm talking about being an eagle Christian. I'm talking about not climbing and clawing my way up the mountain, but living on the mountain where I can be in the presence of God and hear His voice and Him hear mine in prayer. The solitude of the eagle. I know a lot of times people, and I'm not talking about right here at Mount Lebanon, I don't believe that you believe that way, but a lot of churches, they're not really looking for a man of God that lives on the mountain and talks with God and hears God's voice. They're looking more for a social butterfly to be their pastor. Be around and know everything and hear everything. I don't believe that's God's will. I'd rather have a man of God that lived and could get along, could get a hold of God. And that's how all of us, that's how all of us ought to live our lives. In a way that where we could live in God's presence. The solitude of the eagle. I'm moving on this morning. Third of all, Thirdly, this morning, there's the soaring of the eagle. I like this. Verse 27 says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command?" What that is talking about there, and I'm going to deal in this passage of Scripture for several weeks, but what he's talking about there, third of all this morning, which will also be last of all this morning, but it's talking about the mounting up of the eagle is how the eagle takes flight. Eagles do not fly like other birds fly. Now, if you're looking out your kitchen window this morning and you've got a bird feeder out there and there's a robin or a bluebird or one of them yellow birds or whatever, when they take off flying, they'll jump and they'll flap their wings and they'll fly off. Eagles can do that. But where they live, they normally don't do that. That's not how they take off in flight. They mount up. They'll get up on a high place and they will wait for a current to come along. They'll wait for the wind to come along and they will just majestically spread their wings out and like we'll make a kite fly. That's how an eagle mounts up. That's what that's talking about there. The soaring of the eagle, and you'll very rarely see an eagle even have to flap its wings because what it does, it is a master to taking flight, and then it is a master of being able to stay in flight just by riding the wind. That's what an eagle does. That's why an eagle, when you think of the word soar, S-O-A-R, you think of an eagle because that's how they fly. They don't flap up like other birds. Have you ever been in the woods, some of you, and a turkey fly? And you will think, first time that ever happened to me, because you young people may not realize this. When I was growing up, and I mean we lived in the woods, we didn't have wild turkeys. They just weren't any wild turkeys around, but now we have wild turkeys. So I'm thankful for that. But anyway, I remember the first time that I was in the woods and a turkey, what they call it night, what is it? They roost, they perch. I remember the first time I thought a helicopter crashed in the woods. I was walking along and that thing come in over me and I really did. I ducked, I looked around, I didn't know what that was. You talk about a clumsy, awkward bird. Or you've been walking along and a quail takes off underneath your feet, it'll give you a heart attack. But an eagle doesn't do that. An eagle soars. It doesn't flap its wings. It doesn't flog around like a lot of other birds. An eagle, a lot of times, they'll spend the majority of their day, 4 to 6 hours a day, just flying, just riding the current of the wind. The eagle is uniquely designed to do that. He has five primary feathers that comes out of the end, and then his tail is like a stabilizer, and so it can just minutely adjust for how the wind is blowing and ride the current and stay up in the air for very long periods of times. The eagle lives its majestic life not under the influence of its own power. You need to get that this morning. It can live a majestic life. It can soar, but it doesn't do that under the power of its own power. It's able to do that under the influence of the wind. You know this morning what the wind is a type of. John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." It was a great day in my life when I learned that I can't be a good Christian. I learned that. I cannot be a good Christian. I cannot have faith. I cannot be a preacher. I cannot be a Christian husband. I cannot serve God. I cannot have faith in and of. I just can't do it. I don't have the power. I don't have the resources. But what I learned, and I am so thankful. And when I very first started preaching, before I ever preached my first message, I told my preacher over there in England that God had called me to preach. And he said, well, why don't you teach adult Sunday school class? I'd never even taught a class before. I didn't know anything about anything, but somehow, some way, I got into a study on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the pastor gave me a little book entitled Heaven's Throne Gift by James Smith. And I read that book about the Holy Spirit, and I tried to teach out of that and learn out of that. And I learned right early that I couldn't do God's work in the energy of my flesh. What I mean this morning, all we do as God's children is by His influence. It's through His power. It's because of Him that we can do anything and see any fruit in our lives. If we're going to be eagle Christians, we're going to have to learn what it means to mount up and be carried along by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. The key to the eagle's success is that it yields to the wind. Romans 6:13 says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. All the eagle does is spreads its wings and lets the wind take over from there. All I can do is pray and plead that God would some way, somehow use me. You trying to witness to somebody at work and you're not making any headway and you feel like a failure and everything you say makes it worse and not better. You know what you need more than anything else? You need the Holy Spirit of God to take over in your life and influence you and help you and bear fruit in your life. And that's the way you do spiritual work. It's not by the effort of I, but it's by the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And how easy is it this morning? You say, preacher, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to be an eagle Christian. Well, the key is yield. Yield yourselves unto God. Now, that's where we have a hard time, where the eagle yields and he gets ready to take off and he's setting up on his perch there. I hope that's not on. But he's sitting there and he's waiting for the wind to come by. And when the wind comes by, he just spreads his wings out and he lets go with his claws. Now, here's our problem. When the wind comes by, we're hanging on for life and we don't want the wind to carry us away. The Spirit of God. How many times in church? I'm talking about in church where we're surrounded with God's people. And it ought to be real easy to let the Spirit of God have His way. And the Spirit of God comes through and what do? Boy, we hang on. We quench the Spirit of God. We don't let Him. He wants us to testify and boy, we clam up and we get locked jaw and He might want us to go to the altar and we sit there and argue with God and we say, well, you know, I'll just pray right here. I'll pray when I get home. And we can't even yield in the house of God. If we can't learn to yield to the Holy Spirit in the house of God, how are we going to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit out in the world where it's not so easy? We need to learn to let go. And we need to learn what that influence feels like I've missed it before many times. Trying to live for God and do right. If you ever been out and the Holy Spirit says, you need to speak to that person right there. And you get that. And you think to yourself, well, that'll make them mad. And you sit there and argue with yourself and you don't witness when you ought to and you go away in the Holy Spirit. You know all along you should have witnessed to them. I've went to somebody and talked to them in the Holy Spirit and I don't do it and I get a few steps and I have to go back. And boy, learning to yield is, if you don't learn in church, how are you going to listen out there in the world? But it's easy to yield, but it's hard. Because when you yield, He takes over. But if you don't let go, it's just a struggle. It's just a struggle. He wants to carry, but you don't want to let go. And that's how our lives are. What in the world are we holding on to this morning that's keeping us from yielding to the Spirit of God? It's some old, worldly, dead prop. But oh, if we'd ever just learn how sad we're going to be one day to find out what we've held on to wasn't worth nothing. And if we'd just learned to yield unto Him, my, how we could have soared and lived a life for God. We sing a lot of songs out of our songbook that really makes us hypocrites. We sing that song, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I Freely Give." But I wonder sometimes if we're really taking that to heart. That means a whole lot. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Isn't that how that old song goes? Is that how we live our lives? Do we mean that when we stand and sing, "You'd like to soar for the Lord Jesus Christ"? Then it's as simple as this morning. You must surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and quit trying to please God in the energy of the flesh and let Him be Lord in your life. Romans 8 and 18 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That'll never be pleasing unto Him. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's what the Word of God says. Are you filled with the Spirit? That's a hard question to ask. But the Word of God tells us to be. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We see the supremacy of the eagle this morning. How our lives ought to be something that others would look at and admire. We see the solitude of the eagle this morning, how it lives up above and makes its home in the rock. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the soaring of the eagle this morning, the yielding to the wind, the Spirit of God in our lives. The eagle Christian this morning. If God described you, what kind of Christian would He say you were today? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I appreciate your good attention.